fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
And we are live. This is Metallicast Live number 2. I am your host and fellow Metallica fan. My name is Brandon. And this is our monthly live stream coming at you on the Metallicast Facebook page and the Fans Not Experts YouTube page. If you're tuning in, join the chat, join the conversation, join the fun. I am here with a good friend of the show. He is a music journalist. He is a musician. He is a producer. He is a jack of all trades. And most of all, he is Australian. Welcome to the show, Mr. Richard S. He.
Most of all. Most of all of the above. But yeah, good to be on again.
You know, Richard, we were talking about how, before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, the first time you were on Metallicast, I treated you like an actual guest, and now you're just like, I'm just like, hey, fuck you, Richard. That's how comfortable we are with each other at this point, because you've been on the show so much. But I thought, because we're so comfortable with each other, I've never really asked you about Australia, and I thought I could play the role of stupid American. And
yes, the role.
And we're going to do a little bit of role playing. You okay with that?
Bring it on.
So, first question for you. How many people every day do you hear say, put another shrimp on the barbie?
I'm going to say one a week, ironically. But sometimes unironically.
Now, coming from the land down under, how big is Men at Work there?
Pretty big. I mean, people love the song Down Under. I like it. The singer Colin Hay got sued by like a publishing company because he sampled like a folk song on that song. So that was like controversial for a while. But yeah, they're around. They're
he actually had
They are at work.
They are men at work. He's actually had a successful solo career, right?
Yeah, Colin Hay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one of my personal favorite musicians, covered by the mighty Metallica, and he just had an amazing live stream last night, Mr. Nick Cave. Ooh. From Australia.
Yes.
Is he a big fucking deal there?
He's a huge deal. Like, he is revered. He's like the one Australian musician who is like such a mystique that he's almost not considered to be Australian.
Yeah.
In its sense. Just because most of our like celebrities and stuff are so down to earth. And not that he isn't, but he is just like this kind of dark god to us. You know?
I mean, that's sort of the I feel like that's sort of the appeal to him beyond the music is the whole mystique around his persona. He has like a Johnny Cash larger than life persona, but in a way where it's dark and very down to earth.
Yeah, and it's become a bit more human over the last couple of years, but like he hasn't lost any of it either.
Yeah. So Ralph in the chat says, first of all, hey, Mr. Civetto, welcome to the show. He says, I come from a land down under. Well, not really. Is that how it goes? I come from a land down under. So, all right, final question about Australian music. Is there anybody who we would know in American pop culture that is just such like much bigger deal in Australia than they are here in America?
Well, I've literally just been writing about the band Silverchair, for one.
Right.
Who might be famous in the US for the single Tomorrow. They were like, you know, 15-year-olds playing grunge in 1995.
Right. They were really big in like the 90s here on like rock FM radio. Yeah.
Yeah. And the VMAs once. Yeah. And I think with each successive album, like they got a little bit less press in the US. But the thing is, they evolved from like kind of a meat and potatoes grunge band into this really beautiful, like, pop rock band with, like, orchestral string arrangements and, like, a really unique sound. So, yeah, like, in Australia, they're more known for, more beloved for the later stuff often, which doesn't get heard as much.
Oh, really? So they're still, yeah, like, a huge deal there in Australia.
I mean, they've been broken up for a decade now, but, yeah, they're revered here. Absolutely.
That's funny, because we just know them in America as, like, one of those 90 rock bands.
Totally, yeah, but they, they had such a fascinating trajectory.
Yeah. For us, they get roped into, you know, like the Collective Bush Souls, stuff, right? Bush, yeah, like that whole wave of bands that came through.
It's like the 90s never ended. But in Silverchair's case, it did.
So
yes, thank you for indulging me on that topic. We will talk about Metallica, I promise.
Yeah, so before we move on, because our next, the rest of the show is about Metallica, obviously, because this is Metallicast. But now I forget my question. I'm a podcast professional here. I swear. I swear. I've done this before. I swear. I swear. It'll come to me randomly. Oh, plug your, you mentioned you just wrote an article for Silverchair. So before we move on, plug where where people can find it, or put it in the chat so people can click the link.
Oh, true. I need to, open up a different window to post it in the chat. Yeah, so I just ranked every Silverchair and Daniel Johns release for NME Australia, which is really cool. Like obviously a legendary publication, but they just opened an Australian branch, and, it was also cool because the album I ranked number one, which is 2002's Diorama, they gave a very negative review of it in 2002. So it was fun to correct the record in the same
to revisit it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see Mr. Ralph Silvetto in this chat, because I saw him and Mrs. Silvetto on Twitter interacting about this crazy psychotic news story.
Oh, geez, yeah.
What is going on in the land down under? This is the article. It's from blabbermouth.net. I'll credit the Silvettos. The headline is, "Man who slashed woman's throat after hearing voices of Metallica members found not guilty."
Hmm. Ew. Had
you heard about this news story at all?
I hadn't until today. So I hadn't read of the news story, and seems like the guy was, like, super troubled, possibly suffering from schizophrenia or something. But, yeah, attacked a woman in a shopping center. Despite the grisly headline, she's still alive. So that's good.
Good.
But he was not convicted because he was found to be, mentally... What's the word I'm looking for? I don't
insane.
Know. But, yeah, that's...
Unwell.
That's sad, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tragic story. I'm glad to hear she is well. And at least he's getting the help he needs. But that, I had not heard that news story at all. And I was like, all right. Mm. So he is hearing, he claims to have heard the voices of James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich attacked this poor woman because of it. All in that crazy land down under where Mr. Indeed. Richard S. He calls home. And he loves.
It does get pretty crazy here.
And he loves Men at Work. They all love Nick Cave because he is a god. And I think everybody in the chat right now should write, put another shrimp on the barbie, because Richard loves hearing that because he is Australian. I'm glad that finally, after all this time, we were able to address all these stereotypes, because it turns out they're not stereotypes. It's what you live with every single day, Richard.
You can ask about my Chinese heritage on another podcast. Another.
And Richard himself writes in the chat, put another Barbie on the shrimp. All right, let's move on to some positive Metallica news now. So we have, first of all, after all that joshing around, let me cheers you, Richard, with a little Internight Pilsner that I'm drinking this evening. Cheer. During Metallicast Live. You got the coffee going on because it's morning there. It's nighttime here.
Yes,
so yeah. Neither of us are alcoholics. It's nighttime here. It's okay for me to drink. Richard's not drinking because it's the morning. Everything's okay. Everybody calm down. We're all good here.
We don't have better things to do.
So if you hear...
We're not trapped inside our houses.
So if you hear a can open at some point, that's just me opening my second Internet Pilsner, which is next to me waiting when I finish this one. Or it's Richard opening up a beer because he's just given up on life because of quarantine. One of the two. You can guess which one. Mm. All right, so some awesome Metallica news coming out. Before we get to that, I almost forgot. I shared this on the Twitter machine at Metallica's Pod. I text Metallica about tonight. So I'm just eagerly awaiting any moment. James, Lars, Kirk, and or Rob to join the fun. I text them. This is our text conversation right here. I know you can't read it. I'll read it to you. It says, "Hey, I'm inviting James, Lars, Kirk, and Rob to join me and music journalist Richard S. He for Metallicast Live tonight, 7:24 at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be on Facebook and YouTube doing a live listen-along to the other new song, talking S&M2 and more." And then I wrote, "I know the band is not reading this, but this should be a fun thing for social, though the invite is for real." And then I sent the link for them to join. So, I'm expecting any second now, any second, one of them's going to click that link and join this here conversation. So stay tuned. Ralph says, "I have an empty can of Internite. James called me, said he would be late." All right. So that's good to know that he's just running late. He's just running behind schedule. James Hetfield is obviously on his way. He would not miss this for the world. He loves Nick Cave. He loves Australians. He would not miss this for the world.
I know Nick Cave personally. I don't.
I wish you did, because then I would force you to introduce me. Mm. But now, see, this is just awkward because you really do not know him. So
I'd be like, "He's the lover man himself, Brandon Metallicast."
And I would say, "It is for love, baby." And I'll just go through all the letters and he'll be like, "Get this guy the fuck away from me." Ralph, if your can is empty, what are you going to do about that, buddy? You got to get a refill here on the Internite and drink up so I can cheers you, buddy. All right, on to the Metallica news. So obviously last week, major news out of Metallica camp with SNM2. Obviously the concerts happened back in September. It was in theaters in October, and we have all been twiddling our thumbs and awaiting other news as to when we can expect an album, Blu-ray, and all that good stuff. Because of James going to rehab and of course COVID-19, things were pushed back, and now finally on August 28th we are getting S&M 2. I'm assuming, Richard, you've had a chance to hear. First of all, did you have the opportunity to see it in theaters back in October?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to see it in this huge, like, 1920s Art Deco theater we have in Melbourne that's still running. I was on the balcony. There were, like, I think there were a total of, like, 4 people at this screening because it was, like, one of the last ones that for S&M 2. But it was playing way too loud, for one, so I had to bring my earplugs.
You know what they say, if it's too loud, it's too old. Hey, Henry! Welcome to Metallicast Live. Continue.
I was completely flattened by the experience. Blew my mind, blew my face off. And yeah, I've been waiting because I was like, how am I going to get to relive this experience? And so, yeah, I mean, the clips are amazing. The trailer's great. Yeah. They put out Nothing Else Matters and All Within My Hands.
Yeah.
I've been trying to rack my brains and, like, kind of see how they've actually re-edited the show. Although, I feel like we'll never really know. It'll just be in our memories because, the movie version probably isn't going to come out.
I know. So, I was thinking the same thing where, I when I'm listening to All Within My Hands, when I'm watching the clip or, you know, doing so with Nothing Else Matters as well, I'm like, I'm trying to hear the difference or see a difference, but it was so long ago, and there's no record of it in my brain that is clear enough to determine what exactly the difference is. But I will say it sounded great in theaters, and the trailer and the clips of both songs, it's beautifully shot and it sounds fantastic. The production, the mix, all of it just sounds really, really great.
Beautiful. I'm hoping to write an article about it. Like the reasons why SNM2 is better than the first. Controversial, but I think I believe it. So,
you know, I definitely have to live with SNM2 a bit more before I make a decision, but I think there are big arguments to back that up, because you know, the band was going into this time with the experience, and I think personally, my personal opinion right now is that the band's playing at an all-time high in terms of musicianship and tightness, and I just really like, see, I think with SNM1 the risk was doing it. That was the experiment. Exactly. Was the was them playing with the orchestra. Now that they had done that 10 years later, now they're able to take more chances and more risk musically. So we got, you know, Unforgiven 3, we got the classical pieces, we got Anesthesia Pulling Teeth. Like that second half of SNM2 is just
beautiful.
It's beautifully done, and it's just chance, like risk after risk after risk. Up until you get to the last few, you know, songs that close out the set. To get to the chat here, Henry says, or Ralph says, I heard they sold out the deluxe box set. More on the way, though. Henry adds, no reservation when hoping to be able to buy the super deluxe by around release time. Ralph says, that was clear and richer in sound. Seems like orchestra parts were enhanced in new mix. Yeah.
I think so. Might just depend on how you saw it in like the theater and stuff as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I imagine it would be, because it's not easy to mix an entire band and an orchestra in like 3 weeks.
No, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
You know, you have to like really live with those arrangements and those parts and know what to bring out more and what to push back more. And I'm interested to see the arrangements that were on SNM1 that appear on SNM2, I'm interested to see, you know, hear them back to back and compare and contrast.
Play them alongside each other, in fact.
Yeah. Like
one in left, one in right.
Right, because I swear when I saw it in movies, there were a couple parts and a couple of the original arrangements where I was like, I don't remember that part. I don't know if it was the mix. I don't know if it was newly arranged in sections. So I'm really interested in revisiting those songs and seeing what is different, what is the same, and what they execute better and or worse.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing about the show was just to see the band and everyone kind of acknowledging their mortality and the fact that time had passed, you know?
Yeah.
Because it is so easy for like rock stars just to pretend that like the 80s never ended. And Metallica are not that.
Yeah.
You know, they've grown up. Like, James is looking his age in that show, but like looking fantastic. And you have them like acknowledging the passing of Michael Kamen.
Right.
James is singing like very vulnerably, Unforgiven 3, all that. So yeah, just fascinating.
Yeah.
To see like the world's, you know, literally the world's biggest rock band go big, but also go like small in that way at the same time.
There's a really interesting interview. It's not a long read, that was on Metallica.com that they did with Greg Feidelman, the producer of their last couple releases and SNM2. And he gives a little bit of background because he was heavily involved in the project along with the band and Michael Tilson Thomas and Edwin Outwater, and they all worked very collaboratively together to make this happen. So he has a lot of interesting insight into obviously the production end of it, but also some of the choices they make. And he talks a little bit about, very briefly about, like, you know, the Unforgiven 3 and, you know, James preparing for that and whatever. So I would definitely check out that article if you have a chance. I myself am hopefully going to be working on an S&M related article for metaltalk.net. Ooh. So I'll be sharing that if and when it is published, but I'm thinking it will be. So I guess we'll have competing S&M articles, and sorry to say, but...
mine gets commissioned. I don't know if it will. So fingers crossed.
I think what you need, Richard, is a... if obviously you want your articles to get commissioned and put out there, but you need an outlet for the ones that get left behind, because I think that would be a fantastic article either way.
Indeed.
Me wants to read it, is what I'm trying to say. But I thought I liked their choice of songs that they released first. I thought it was smart to do Nothing Else Matters. It's a obviously familiar song for people, and it gave you they gave you one song that appeared on S&M 1 and one song that did not. I'll be honest.
One song that appeared on St. Anger.
Right, which is you loved, which is, you know. And the acoustic arrangement for All Within My Hands is fantastic. And I'm the only bad part about the acoustic arrangements that came before is that I don't think I'll ever be able to go back after S&M 2 to hearing it without the orchestra.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that'll be another interesting thing too, because I think, you know, from S&M 1, there are a couple songs I think a lot of Metallica fans would agree are now like the definitive version of that song. Like for me, the S&M version of Call of Cthulhu is the definitive version of that. That might be blasphemy for some people, but I would much rather listen to the S&M version with the orchestra than the Ride the Lightning version. I think, I think for the album version, to me, it's one of the weaker instrumentals, but with the orchestra, it adds a whole other layer, and it really elevates it to one of their top instrumentals, in my opinion.
Yeah, and now we're going to get two versions.
Right. So now I'm interested to see on S&M 2 if we get, you know, is there going to be a definitive version of a song like Unforgiven 3? I have a feeling for me, S&M 2 might go down as that. That will be the definitive version of that song that I always want to revisit and listen to rather than the Death Magnetic version.
I think no question. I think for me, that song has always been For Whom the Bell Tolls, actually. That the S&M 1 version is the one I'm actually most attached to.
Really?
Not that the original isn't a classic, but just, you know, like I've memorized every James like ad lib to the crowd in that version. So
yeah, it's funny. On a while back, when S&M 2 was first announced, I did an episode about S&M with Nick Makoviak. Check it out if you've not already. And we were both saying how there was a period of time, at least for me, there was a period of time where I listened to S&M so much that it was weird going back to the album versions, because I'd want to sing like James's ad libs, or I'd be like, oh, that string part's missing, that horn part's missing, because the arrangements got so ingrained in my brain for some of those songs after a while. It was weird going back to the album versions. For those of you tuning in to Metallicast Live, I'm joined by Richard S.C. We're talking S&M 2 right now. Please join the chat. Join the fun. We have a lot of Metallica goodness ahead. Any other thoughts on S&M 2 before we continue on?
No, just bring it on, honestly. I can't believe it's almost been a year already.
I know.
You know?
It's crazy.
I mean, I guess it's coming on 9 months, so it's been a normal length pregnancy.
Well, I think originally they were saying February. Hi, Winnie. Welcome to Metallica.
Oh, that's my mom. Hi, mom.
Hi. That's Richard's mom. Hi.
She tuned in last time, and I didn't see her message. So, yeah. Hi from, she's in Singapore.
Hello from America to Singapore. Welcome to Metallicast Live, Richard's mom.
Welcome.
Richard, is your mother a Metallica fan?
I don't think so, but I could talk her into a few songs. I think.
Like from S&M.
Or Santa, Nothing Else Matters.
I'm very excited for this to be released in August, August 28th. It was originally rumored, I believe, for February. Like I said, kept on getting pushed back due to rehab, due to COVID and all the craziness going on out there, but it's finally coming, and it's coming in many different packages. Ralph already mentioned the chat that deluxe edition that you had to enter to buy because there's limited copies, but sounds like maybe there'll be more on the way. Then there's another box set, and then they have a bunch of different bundles. Basically, you can get it LP, CD, Blu-ray, DVD, and a whole bunch of combinations of two or more of those things. So,
are you planning to get one?
Definitely. I'll be honest with you. I rarely buy albums these days because I subscribe to Apple Music, and I do not have any record stores like within driving range anymore from like right now where I live, other than you know, like a chain, which I have no interest in shopping at Best Buy or at Walmart for their very limited CD selection. Yeah. So I very rarely buy physical product anymore, even though I would probably prefer to, just for sound quality and everything. But I for Metallica, I always get a physical product. They're the one band that I always get something physical for to add to my collection.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping to pick up the Blu-ray because, like, if you know, there was any one show or like film to, you know, test your like your system with, it'd be that, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I bring it to people's houses and be like, yeah, all right, I'm just gonna slip this in.
Well, they have a. What I'll probably end up getting, I think I was saying to Ralph on Twitter, like, I would love the Super Deluxe box set, but I could not justify spending $300 to Mrs. Metallicast without ending up divorced or murdered. So, I most likely will, I'll get it streaming through Apple Music already since I'm a subscriber. So I'll probably get the, I'll probably get the CD and the Blu-ray bundle, which is really, if you look at the prices too, it's a pretty good deal because it's only like a handful of dollars more, I believe, for to get both those things than it would be to just get one of those things. So I definitely
want... It was a really good price.
Yeah. I definitely want the Blu-ray to see it because I the visual of it is just so beautifully shot and is just, you know, one for the history books, I think.
Yeah.
So, SNM2, August 28th. Other Metallica news that just came out today. Aftershock Festival will be happening now in 2021. And Metallica will be playing Friday and Sunday night. So, same as they were going to, they're doing two nights, two unique sets. And that's good news for anybody who was... I'm guessing they're honoring the ticket holders. I'm not sure if they've already refunded everybody or how that's going to work for tickets, or if they've even announced anything for that yet. But that's good news, and I'm hoping that means for the ticket holders of the other festivals Metallica was supposed to play that they will be also perhaps rescheduled for 2021, because it seems like all of the concerts that were supposed to be happening this summer are just being postponed a year.
Yeah. I just read that they are honoring all 2020 passes, and also exclusive to anyone who's already bought tickets, they will get to go to the fourth night.
Oh, fantastic. Thursday.
Well, really the first night, but yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's great news for ticket holders then. So hopefully for people who had you know, tickets to the other David Wimmer productions that, you know, I always want to call it... I always want to call it Rock on the Range. What's it called now? Ralph, hit me up. That's the one you were going to go to.
Yeah. But, I was going to say Rock am Ring, but that's Germany.
Yeah, that's Germany. Ralph is saying we got refunded for all three fests we were planning on attending. So hopefully there'll be an opportunity for, you know, if they're postponed, that maybe there'll be a way. Sonic Temple. Thank you, Ralph. I knew you'd be with it. So hopefully there'll be a way to get... you know, for original ticket holders to get back in on the action if they do reschedule stuff. But and of course Australia, you Australians are still waiting to hear that Metallica news because they, you know, when James went to rehab, obviously things got all delayed, and now with COVID everything's just up in the air.
Would love Metallica and Slipknot to do a make good there, because Slipknot were opening, so
right, yeah,
Slipknot in a stadium too, so that would have been a sight to behold.
Yeah, those are going to be massive shows. So hopefully for the Australian audience, they can get those rescheduled in 2021. Of course, this is all assuming that things are back to normal in 2021. God help us if they are not. But hopefully we are, you know, back to normal by this time next year, and concerts are happening because the music industry needs it and us fans want it.
Yeah. What else are we gonna do?
Apparently. by this time next summer, there's no concerts. Everybody watching will have a podcast if they do not already. If you are watching, join the chat. And you missed out at the concert this past Monday on Metallica Monday, you said, Richard, right? Yeah, but
shamefully I did, but I've been downloading all of them just in case they get pulled off YouTube at some point.
Yeah.
Stockpiling them.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, well, it's funny because I feel like they say they're only going to be up for a week, but I feel like I've seen some of them up for longer than a week, but I could be wrong in that. But I'm sure you can also find them outside of the official Metallica YouTube channel once they are up there. Because I'm sure other people will be sharing it. But it was an interesting one this past Monday night. It was one of the shows from 2006 where they're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Master Puppets. They played the album from start to finish. That was really cool. And they also, it was one of the handful of shows where they played the new song, which we talked about the last Metallicast Live. And you know, this was a song written, what ended up being Death Magnetic, but the song never was released. Mm-hmm. They ended up using parts of it in The End of the Line and All Nightmare Long, and other parts just got scrapped. And it never was officially titled, so it's still to this day called The New Song. And the reason I bring that up is and part of the reason why I invited you back is because this is sort of the sequel, because we are about to do a live listen along to what is simply known as the other new song.
Original title.
Yeah. So have you heard this, and do you remember the last time that you have heard this song?
I listened to it last night because I've been liking to track down like the actual, you know, soundboard recordings of it.
Right,
I won't comment on it yet. I know I definitely heard the new song when it first happened. I don't remember the other one.
Yeah.
Strangely. So,
well,
I don't know.
The new song,
our internet was bad then.
The new song is pretty in line with what you would expect from a Metallica song. And the other new song is interesting, and again, I do not want to comment on it too much before we play the song, especially if anybody watching has not heard it yet. But I will say, even though it sounds like Metallica, it definitely is a slightly different direction for them. So that will be the tease. Here's Metallica, the other new song, live from Seoul in 2006. Yeah.
Are you doing good out there? Okay, Korea, Seoul, are you feeling good? You want more? You want another song? How about a brand new song from the next album? All right, here we go, new song.
Oh,
Thank you very much. All right.
Woo!
The Facebook comments have rolled in.
All right, let me catch up here. We have, let's see. Vulturus! Ralph says there was a really cool riff that got completely left off. Pretty bummed about that. Ralph says officially, Vulturus! Stephanie says, let's admit it, it ain't that good. Shane says, what the hell was that? LOL. Okay. Some of you bring in the heat here. Some of you bring in the heat on the Facebook Live. All right, so I want to revisit some of those comments. But first, Richard, let me hear what you have to say.
I like it. I think it's weird in how not weird the song is. Like, it's so straightforward that it's almost like, is that all there is? You know?
Yeah.
I want to say it reminds me of Kill 'Em All, just in its approach, in some of the riffs and the solos. But I don't know, like, James's vocal delivery is so different that it's hard to compare them.
Yeah.
And also just weird to hear him singing so many, like, whoas. It's very, like, out of character for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he was, like, listening to or thinking of at the time.
Well, to me, if I had... If I did not know better and I heard that song, I'd be like, oh, is this like an obscure misfit song that Metallica put their own spin on? It has that punk rock feel. I mean, complete with the riffs, the tempo, and the whoa, that's very all punk rock. But it's not something you would typically hear in a Metallica song. Henry says, I got the Vulturus keychain from the Death Magnetic Coffin box set. Good B-side song, though. Stephanie adds, hey, they tried. I guess they knew it wasn't Metallica material. Second half is not that bad, but first half was WTF. Henry says they should have added the two new songs with the Beyond Magnetic EP. That would have been cool to hear, like,
a studio version
of those songs on there. Or even if they just drew, like, the live versions on there as well. And not to get too sidetracked, but Beyond Magnetic will be the topic of our next Metallicast full length coming out in another week or two.
I'm very intrigued by the prospect of that.
It was fun revisiting that because that's not one I revisit often, and I could not even remember the last time I heard all four songs in a row from start to finish, because usually I only hear those songs when I kind of just hit shuffle on my iPhone and they come up. So that was a fun one to revisit and record. So you'll hear that in another week or two. But to focus on the other new song, Vulturus, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, definitely a left field one. You know, I think there was a reason why it was left off. It sounds a little been there, done that in terms of not necessarily the Metallica catalog, but just in rock music in general. You know, it's nothing too outstanding. What am I saying? It's nothing too outstanding about it. Podcast professional, everybody. I'm blaming the internet Pilsner. nothing too outstanding about it. Nothing too, but it's a good catchy song, I think, you know, at the end of the day. I like the little false finish. That was like, reminded me a lot of, Motorhead in why is the song escaping me? Metallica covered it too. Somebody in the chat helped me out here. But yeah, And I'm a big fan of the Misfits, and that's what it reminds me of. So I dug it from that perspective. But yeah, I think generally it was, to quote the boys, a little stock.
Yeah, I think any like uniqueness to it comes from the way it's played and not the songwriting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and also too, I think it's probably a better live song than it would be on album. Because live, yeah, it has a lot of energy. They look like they're having a lot of fun playing it. Kirk totally is all smiles, and you know, it's a fun song if you're there in the crowd. It's only, you know, a few minutes long. It's got a faster tempo. You can jump along to it. It's catchy. You can sing along to it. But I'm not sure how well it would translate to a studio recording. I think we'd lose a little bit of that energy, a little bit of that fire, and it's already kind of stock to begin with. And then and I just cannot imagine that song fitting anywhere on Death Magnetic. If you look at those songs, they just not fit comfortably at all in that track listing.
You know what it does remind me of a little? It reminds me of like the bad songs on Trivium's The Crusade. Where I respect that band, right? But there was a point on that album specifically where they were like getting so into like ripping off Metallica that it became like kind of funny.
Yeah, that,
in my opinion.
I do enjoy that album for what it is, but for those of you not familiar with The Crusade by Trivium, it at one point or another it kind of is it copies every big metal band. Like you're gonna hear a riff or so, you're like, oh, that's Slayer, oh, that's Pantera, oh, that's Metallica, oh, that's Metallica again, oh, that's Metallica again. And then they kind of even have like kind of a like an 80s hair metal moment in one of the songs. It's a good album, I think, generally. It there's some really solid songwriting on it. I mean, it was definitely a little bit left field for them, but yeah, I definitely can hear what you hear that a little bit in what you say.
It reminds me a bit of the old joke that I think it was someone in Metallica made this joke that when Metallica's on stage, they're actually miming, and like all of Pantera is actually backstage and like playing the real instruments. But this is like that, but with Trivium instead.
Yeah. Well, when Trivium started out, I remember their thing was like world domination. Like they basically were totally like, we are the new Metallica. And then on that album, they were like, we are going to play as much like Metallica as possible.
Yes.
But you know, I do enjoy that album, but the one that came before Ascendancy and the one that came after Shogun, far superior. Yeah. But, you know, this is not Trivium Cast, Richard, so get off the topic, okay? Stop talking about Trivium, all right? This is about Metallica. This is about the other new song. This is about Vulturous. So, yeah,
but at least it was about Vulturous.
It was. I think the general consensus is that, you know, it deserves to be left off. But I do think it's a fun live song. I think it would be fun for them to pull out this song randomly at some live show. Like, just come out, and instead of doing, like, you know, Last Caress or Die Down My Darling or So What, just throw the song into the slot. I'm sure most people there would be like, what the fuck is this? This has to be, you have to be a really hardcore Metallica fan, I feel like, to be like, oh, they're playing the other new song from 2006.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say I quite like the new song. So this is, yeah, definitely like a cut below.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, it's nice to have one that's like worth going back to, I guess.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. The new song, they took parts and used it in Death Magnetic songs, right? We already mentioned they used riffs in The End of the Line. They used riffs in All Nightmare Long. In Vulturous, none of those parts were used on Death Magnetic.
No.
Excuse me. None of those parts were even used in Beyond Magnetic, so.
Sure. Yeah.
Henry says future box set material. Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see a Metallica box set with outtakes like this. You know, and Richard, you being a Saint Anger fan, I know you must be clamoring to hear the Presidio tapes at some point.
I'm curious. I think they will prove to people that the album Saint Anger is not so raw and so like uncomposed as some people say it is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you just take those, my theory is that if you just take those raw riffs and just jam on them, like, you don't get much of an album. But that was a beautiful. But yeah, I'm curious. That's all I'll say. I don't expect them to be good songs, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not expecting good songs, but I'm really interested to hear what they have. Stephanie writes, must be left in the same drawer where Dead Kennedy Rolls is. Yeah, that's the one that seems to live on the most from the Presidio sessions as Dead Kennedy Rolls. Yeah. And then there is the one, Temptation, which you actually hear a clip of in Some Kind of Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds like brutally heavy, but very like down-tuned, very almost like doomy. Not really what you'd expect from Metallica. But yeah, I'm intrigued to hear that stuff just for, well, just because I'm a Metallica nerd, but yeah. I'm not expecting to hear it and unearth any great lost masterpiece. Ralph says delete that.
Delete that.
I mean, I think everybody can agree we want to hear that weird intro thing that they recorded, that you hear in Some Kind of Monster where Torben Ulrich famously says, delete that.
Yeah, recover that.
I'm trying to think of everybody's reaction, you know, considering how strong of a reaction Saint Anger got from people. Now imagine if it started with that. Just wow. James sounding like he's in an echo chamber, as Torben put it.
Oh dear.
How many people would not have made it to track two?
Everyone but me. And you, actually.
I mean I would have powered through and been like,
yeah,
where did this go? This is weird. I mean,
they should call it Beyond Saint Anger.
The Beyond Saint Anger. I mean, listen, if they were like, we're selling it for $20, I would buy it for $20 or any price because I want to hear it. I'm a Metallica nerd. I want to hear it. But I if there is some box set in our future at some point, Ralph says out in 2030. Stephanie says it's all studio material unfinished. I'm sure a finished production, different lyrics might have worked out. Yeah, and I think you can see Saint Angrier, Ralph says. I think, you know, you can, you know, they always kind of, that's the criticism that the band themselves has given to Load Reload sometimes, is that, you know, there's probably some songs that they're, that they could finesse and, you know, and make it into something, even if it maybe would have made the album more solid overall if it was left off or I think this band has a talent to take any riff that they write and kind of finesse it into something that's pretty decent. But you know,
yes, indeed.
Pretty decent Metallica is a lot different than masterpiece Metallica, because when they're at their best, as we all know, they just are truly phenomenal.
Indeed. What a band.
So we, Richard and I both thought it would, might be fun to end this with a couple weird cover songs of Metallica. For those of you who might be new to Metallicast, I used to end, for the great majority of this podcast life so far, I used to end each full-length episode with a cover of a Metallica song. And basically it got to the point where I just could not keep track of the songs I'd already used. And the podcast, thankfully, has continued to grow and grow. And I just sort of wanted to, you know, be respectful to the artists and not just use tons and tons of music without permission, to be quite frank. But because realistically, nobody was ever supposed to hear this outside of me and my mother, but
and Greg
but yet here we are. I thought it would be fun to do a cover song little segment here for Metallicast Live, And Richard sent me one that he thought was a little weird, and I chose one that I thought was a little weird. So we'll at least play a clip of both these. I will see if we'll do the full versions, but at least we'll play a couple minutes of each one. And I'm interested, of course, to hear what you have to say about them in the chat. So this first one is it's a cover of a deep cut in Metallica catalog. A little known song called Enter Sandman. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. I'm just going to play it. This was Richard's selection for Weird Metallica Cover. But you know what? It's sort of badass in its own way. And I think you'll see what I mean when you hear it and see it. Here we go. You're not getting audio.
No, I messaged you on two platforms.
All right. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. All right. Let me try again. Take two. Seeing the video without the audio is even weirder.
Just imagine what it sounds like in your head. Right? Imagine what a bunch of 8 to 10-year-olds playing it sounds like. And then... Well, what you get is better than that. Let's just say that.
So, you know, this StreamYard is a little twixta because you can share your screen, but then you have to select share audio separately. Like, why would I want to share my screen without the audio? Duh, yeah. I'm playing Metallica, or kind of. Anyways, all right, take two. Richard, just yell at me if... you're not hearing it this time, okay?
I'll give the wrestling X sign if I can't hear it.
Thank you.
So that's the class Brandon teaches on Thursdays.
That's Metallica for beginners.
Yeah. That's your day job.
Yeah. I mean, for kids, that is the mini band, which I believe is like 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds. For kids their age, that's pretty badass. But I mean, it's awesome. It's also hilarious. But the kid doing his best Hetfield impression, he did it like a little, you know, like a little yeah.
The thing I find funniest is just the prospect of the bridge, right? The "Now I lay me down to sleep" part, except it's one kid. It's one kid telling another kid.
You know, so that was like the Saint Anger version of it. It was like, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Pray the Lord." You know, it was. Ralph says their vocal is braver than me. I won't sing in front of anyone. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to do that. But Ralph, I'm sure you have the voice of an angel.
Yeah, I bet.
Henry says, can't wait to see a future video of those kids growing up and watching themselves.
Well, I think probably the video is like 10 years old or something, so.
Oh, well, then they're probably already in a touring band and making more money than any of us, so. We suck. All right, so that was your choice for weird cover song. Definitely a little. I'm pretty sure nobody expected to hear, you know, 8 and 9 year olds cover Enter Sandman at some like country festival or wherever that was.
In the UK, I think.
Was it the UK?
Yeah, I looked up. I think I just looked up like weird Metallica covers, and I scrolled past a bunch that I'd seen before. I came across this. And I was like, oh. Okay, and like a minute in, I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to top this. This is perfect.
Ralph says new members of Slipknot. Yeah, see, now you know who the mysterious replacements are that keep on entering this band as people quit and whatnot.
Yeah. You
know? It's all those kids under mask. all right, I will play my selection. This time I promise you I will also share the audio with you so you can hear it. This might be a few months too early, what I'm about to share, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying when you hear it. So here we go. This is a cover of my personal favorite Metallica song off my personal favorite Metallica album, Master. So I'm queuing it up here. Sharing the audio this time because I'm a podcast professional and I know what I'm doing. I just want to make quick note that the mini band video definitely scared away a lot of viewers.
Aww. They were intimidated by the talent.
But this one, it's going to bring them all back. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you alive?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Richard's reading the text on screen.
Merry Christmas, yeah! Thank you.
You are all welcome.
Hope you enjoyed my air glockenspiel.
I saw you going there. shout out to the chat that made me laughter.
Giggle.
That was Santa Claus, CLAWS, and the Naughty But Nice Orchestra. Apparently, they have an album called And Christmas for All, featuring a ton of Metallica covers. I believe they do, you know, Welcome Home Sanitarium. I think The Unforgiven. Wow. There's a bunch out there. I've not listened to any of them except this one. In fact, that was my first time listening to this full thing. if I'm being honest with all of you. Shane said, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, lol. Ralph goes, this works. We don't know what month it is anyway. Oh, so my wife likes the vibraphone, whatever the hell that is. Ralph says, oh, and there's a glockenspiel, which is always a good time. Henry adds on soundtrack to the apocalypse. Shane, being a little Scrooge, says, I think I got some taxes to do or something. Henry says, Master Puppet's remastered box under the Xmas tree. Shane also adds on longest elevator ride ever.
I just want to say that the song Master of Puppets is technically about Easter because it starts with, you know, End of Passion Play. So they're a few months late on that one.
True.
If you think about it. I enjoy it, though.
I like to think of it as the gift that keeps on giving.
Correct.
And I think all I have to say is when December rolls around and Christmas is right around the corner, you all fucked because I'm going to be pulling out a lot of these.
I bet because it's Metallica too, there's probably like 10 different Christmas tributes to Metallica.
I'm sure that there are.
Can I tell you a story? Right.
Please.
I don't think I've told this before. Maybe I have. But the first, like, Metallica professional tribute act, I believe, was Apocalyptica, right? The famous, you know, plays Metallica by four cellos. They're four guys, I think, from Finland. And, yeah, they got famous for doing Metallica covers on cello while being very metal, really cool musicians.
They launched an entire career off of it.
Yeah, they even opened for Metallica and I think
have
played with them. Or
was that when they opened for them? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was when they were doing the all cover, the all cover shows to promote Garage Inc. Because they were not playing any Metallica songs; they were just playing cover songs.
Correct. Yeah.
And they had Apocalypta open for them playing Metallica songs, I believe.
Yes.
Or perhaps they did that with another Metallica tribute band, but
I think it was them. But yeah, so Apocalyptica, their success basically kicked off this cottage industry of not just Metallica covers, but metal covers in general, right?
Right.
The Vitamin String Quartet, Harptalica, Metallica for Babies, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Bluegrass Metallica.
Yeah, over the years. And one thing is because, you know, the way, like, Blabbermouth and metal media covers this stuff, you know, it could, like, very easily go viral, right? You send out a press release, everywhere publishes it, blah, blah, blah. So at one point, you know, like a decade ago, whatever, you know, Metallica in every single format has been covered, right? You can't think of another possible way to cover Metallica. And then I saw a press release on Metal Sucks or somewhere saying, hey, we're Metallica, performed on two cellos. We had heard Metallica played on harp, heard Metallica played on flute, but never on cello. So we decided to be the first to do it. And I was just like, anyway, short memory.
It is like a huge industry right now where, or not just right now, but in general for years now, with like all these tribute albums, it's really amazing. I know when I saw the Big Four show at Yankee Stadium after Metallica was done playing and everybody was leaving, they did play over the loudspeakers the bluegrass or one of the bluegrass Metallica tributes, which was fun. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah. There's Ralph so much adds, out there. You could like literally become a podcast that only talks about Metallica tributes.
Yeah. Ralph adds they did the 30th anniversary shows with them too.
Yeah.
Is there any other example, not to go too off topic, but is there any other example of a band that started as basically a tribute to another band and was able to launch an entire career out of it, and by doing like original material and stuff down the road?
I mean, I'm sure there have been, but most of them haven't been based around paying tribute to like one band.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I feel like everyone started out playing covers in some way.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Metallica started off playing covers too.
Yeah.
But I cannot think of any example like Apocalyptica where it was, you know, four cellos play Metallica. I remember having that CD and they were, you know, that was all that they were. They were a Metallica tribute act. And then I know they came out with other albums after that, but I believe even those were more covers. They did some additional Metallica covers. And I think they did some other metal bands, like maybe like Pantera and some others.
Yeah.
And then, but at some point, they segued into doing original material. Yeah. And they added a vocalist, and they really like kind of found their own sound. And they still got a long career doing all that and more. So,
yeah,
kudos to them. I just can't think of another band that has like a same like career trajectory as that.
Yeah,
such a unique place to start and end up.
Well, I was going to say that you know, technically Metallica started off as a Dave Mustaine cover band because, you know, he wrote all the riffs. So.
Well, technically they still are a Dave Mustaine cover band because he's still writing all the riffs. Why do you think it only makes sense. Why do you think, all right, conspiracy theory time. Okay. So Megadeth has released a new album every couple years. It takes Metallica now. It was 8 years between Death Magnetic and Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Why? Because Mustaine was too busy writing riffs for all the Megadeth albums. Now, here's the catch, though. Here's the catch. All those Megadeth albums that have come out, in my opinion, little middle of the road, a little stock. Why? He was saving the best riffs for Death Magnetic and Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
Metallica is Dave Mustaine. Dave Mustaine is Metallica to this day in 2020.
Ooh, and don't forget, Bon Jovi is Megadeth because the Megadeth song Super Collider is literally Keep the Faith by Bon Jovi.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's like the exact same chord progression.
All right, now I'm going to have to check that out after we're done recording.
Yeah.
So, I've been fortunate enough to do some more interviews lately with people I really respect and admire. And
great choice.
I would love to one day, I bring that up because I would love to one day do an interview with Dave Mustaine and or David Ellison, but I know I've already burnt that bridge.
You'll have to start a separate feed just to like and change your name. Brandon Megadeth cast.
I mean, I love Megadeth. I really do. And I'm I love their work, but I just, you know, they're just an easy target. And I mean, Ralph, the man, Saveto, is saying it himself in the chat. Oh, man, most of the recent Death albums are unlistable. I agree. I didn't realize that because I could only make it through Super Collider once. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of the recent Megadeth albums is that, like, since I remember, I really liked The System Has Failed, which was, like, his comeback.
That's my second favorite, actually.
Yeah, I really liked that record. And then I believe the follow-up was United Abominations. That to me was like kind of a mixed, had mixed results. And that was the last Megadeth album I remember coming out and listening to more than once, to be honest with you. Maybe 13 I listened to a couple times, but I quickly moved on from that. And the other ones like Super Collider, I forget even the other ones that
I were... like Endgame, I think.
Oh, Endgame was one of them.
Yeah.
But like all those just blend in with each other. Like I couldn't tell you like what songs are on what of those albums. They all just blend in. Allison still might be a possibility. He's nice. Allison is comes across as an extremely nice guy. I think he would actually laugh at the fact that we do the Elves and Drinking Game on my other podcast, the Course Pain podcast. I think he would actually get a kick out of that. Andy puts out a best of or some kind of compilation every other year. Yeah, it's so true. Like, it's just, I think Dystopia was their best album in years. Mm-hmm. I still have only listened to it once or twice. Still is not like a standout album to me. I just think compared to the few albums that came before it, it's better than. I really like their current lead guitarist. I think he adds a lot of flavor to the band. He reminds me a lot of Marty Friedman in the way he plays, which I like. But, you know, the songs have to be there. I really want a great Megadeth record. I know they're making one now. I truly hope, as much as I poke fun, I love Megadeth. They're one of my favorite bands. And I really, really would love just a masterpiece of an album from them. But I just have my doubts because I just feel like they are, just kind of skating through the 2000s.
Just rolling on, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, do you know what the most recent Megadeth compilation is called?
No.
It's a best of, one of a million. It's called Warheads on Foreheads.
But why?
Because nuclear war is always at the front of your mind.
Apparently.
I'm not checking that. That's correct. Yes. And the album cover is like a fighter jet with a ton of missiles on it. So, okay. Thanks for that.
Ralph says, and he's remixed this stuff to death. Oh my God. I mean, if you go back and listen to the episode I did with, Stephen Brooks from Crypt Sermon, we actually touch upon a little bit the Megadeth remasters.
Yeah.
Those are bad. Here's the thing with the if you remaster an album, don't change the original intent and sound of that record.
Yeah.
Like you go back and listen to some of those remasters and you're like, this part wasn't even on the original album. It sounds like a completely different mix, a completely different song. And like, if that's your intention, that's fine, but don't advertise it as that album. And now it's hard to even find the original mixes of those records. So this is going to be like the new staple that like a new generation hears, especially through streaming. And it's a disaster. It's a mess. Even like, I actually revisited Risk like a year ago. I don't think it's a good Megadeth album, but I don't think it's a bad album. I think there's some hidden gems on there. Obviously, some filler too. But I was like, this doesn't even sound like the original album. It's like every song is like a completely different mix. And then I remember going back to So Far, So Good, So Well, which I think is a very underrated Megadeth record.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. And I'm like, this is a disaster. Why? Like, you know, when Metallica's doing their remasters, it's going to sound like a better version of what you know. You're not going to hear.
Totally.
Like, Injustice for All, maybe some people would want a new mix with the bass, but you're not going to hear it. You're going to hear the original intent of that record. Just modernize for, you know, modern stereo systems, you know?
I just want to say that the censored version of These Boots by Megadeth is an abomination. That should not exist. Just delete it.
Yeah. I would say delete that.
Yeah.
Anyways. What is it about me that every Metallica episode ends up with Dave Mustaine impressions, then ends up with a Megadeth rant. What is wrong with me, Richard?
It took about 75 minutes to get there, and I brought it up, so I think it means that we're enabling you.
It's fine. You can keep on enabling me. I'll allow it, because I need to get it off my chest, you know?
Yeah.
Part of the reason I started this podcast was because my wife was tired of hearing me talk about Metallica all the time to her.
Aww.
I know. Spoiler alert, I still talk about them all the time. I really, you know, if she's tired of hearing about Metallica, you can imagine how she's feeling about my Megadeth rant. So this is like my safe space to really speak my mind about the state of Megadeth.
what's her taste?
But I'm rooting for them. Huh?
What's her taste in music like?
She has a wide range in taste. She likes metal and rock. She likes Metallica. Oh. But she listens to like a lot of pop music. She likes a lot of like Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus. Oh. She likes she loves like country western music, including like modern day like pop country. She really likes, like, I like old school country, like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, you know, the Outlaws. I love Hank 3. She has a good range of stuff, but she's into a lot of that type of stuff. But you know, she will listen to metal and rock. She's seen Metallica live with me and loves their live show. But yeah, she doesn't want to hear about them 24/7, and I want to talk about them 24/7. So,
speaking of pop country, one cover I came across was Luke Bryan segueing from one of his songs into Enter Sandman and back. That's really good. I
saw that. Yeah. I saw that. And not something at all I would expect from him.
Nah, he got a voice.
Shane says, FYI, my wife told me I had to quit arguing with people on Facebook who call down Metallica with bullshit comments. Anyone else have this problem?
Yeah.
we are a proud, loyal few. Well, not few. There's a lot of us, but we are a proud, loyal group. And we definitely let our voices be heard.
I took those comments and turned them into articles. And then got paid. And then made other people angrier. So who's laughing now? Huh?
I mean, if you want to talk about defending Metallica against the haters, this man wrote an entire essay defending Saint Anger.
That's me.
So, I mean, if anything, you're the king of arguing with the haters.
King nothing,
yes. But you know what, Richard? You're my hero of the day.
Aww. You're my master of podcasts.
Aww. You know what you're not?
What?
You ain't my bitch.
Hey. Don't talk to me. Talk to 2x4.
Time to meet my lord. Hey, some good news. I just bought the house that Jack built.
Wow.
Well, this podcast might as well just go to sleep. hey, your mother showed up. Mama said. All right. I think we're really dragging this out now. All right. Richard, any final words for Metallicast Live?
Yeah, I have a final image for you. It's Dumb and Dumber on VHS. That's us.
Love that movie. That is us, Dumb and Dumber. Henry and Lloyd. That is one of my all-time favorite movies. And the fact that you have it on VHS really touches my heart. I'm going to bring it full circle to the beginning of this. I'm going to play the role of Dumb America.
Yeah. That's where we started.
Richard, no DVDs, Blu-ray, or streaming in Australia yet is what I'm seeing. You just have VCRs.
We get kangaroos to drop off the VHSs from Blockbuster here.
You have, is kangaroo like your Uber? Do you know what an Uber is? You've heard about it from America.
Is that like the little baby that goes in the pouch?
Exactly. Richard S. He. You silly Australian man. Well, if there's one thing we learned, he's Australian. He loves Men at Work. He worships the god that is Nick Cave. And one day, Metallica and Slipknot will play a stadium there.
Damn right.
Richard, where can everybody find you on the social media?
I'm on Twitter at RSH_ELLE. That's the main place.
ELLEL, your pop duel group. Any new music coming our way soon?
We're working on a few things. Yeah. Hoping to put out a semi full length before the end of the year. So we will see how that goes. Been playing a lot of bass guitar on the new songs. So
you do?
Yeah. No guitar, just bass.
Interesting. You tapping into your inner Cliff Burton?
Yeah, actually, yeah, channeling him a bit as an influence, so.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Sorry?
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Thank you.
And anything else you want to plug? You plugged your new...
Silverchair piece.
Yeah, your Silverchair piece. There is a... Do not hate me. I know he listens. Daniel, who does the Silverchair podcast. What is the name of his podcast again? Can you remember? You've been on it.
Too Much of Not Enough, Silverchair podcast.
Yeah, I want to plug because I know he's supporter of this podcast, which I appreciate. And you've made appearances on his Silverchair podcast. Basically, yes, Richard found fame and fortune on Metallicast. He's now just sleeping around, whoring it up with all these other podcasts.
You're not wrong. This is home base, the sanitarium, so to speak.
I appreciate it. Anything else you want to plug, though?
Metallicast. It's a little show. Ran out of a basement.
Really?
In Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the host as sexy as he sounds?
Yeah, I believe so.
Follow Metallicast on social at Metallicast Pod on Facebook, the Twitter machine, and Instagram. Please, if you're not a subscriber, subscribe, download, and leave a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It'd be greatly appreciated. We got to cancel out the couple 1-star reviews I got. One guy says, I'm the epitome of a Metallica fanboy. He makes me hate him. He makes me... I piss him off that I make him hate being a fan of Metallica is what I'm trying to say. And there was another 1-star review. He was really upset, Richard, about our April Fool's joke with Dave Mustaine side project MD45. Yeah, he was. But otherwise, you know, I think I've gotten good reviews. So please keep them coming in 5-star reviews. It will greatly help the podcast. I've had the opportunity to have some really cool guests on lately, and 5-star reviews and downloads and subscription numbers, all that will just help in getting more guests. If you've not checked out the last couple episodes, please do so. John Zazula, Johnny Z, and Michael Lago, two dream guests of mine. Both men played a huge part in the careers of Metallica. Arguably, you would not know who Metallica is without either of these gentlemen. So please check out those interviews if you've not already. Thank you. I appreciate it. Of course, you can find Metallicast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, our home site, fansonexperts.com, or pretty much everywhere else you find your podcasts. Richard, you've been doing this long enough with me. I want you to sign out for us with my little tag.
Middle of your ass. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Fans Not Experts.